been talking to my heart this week and for the last little while about this subject, and we would just like the Lord to help us with this. I've been thinking a little about our heritage, and I'm going to write that on the board. I was thinking about a brother that lives out in West Virginia, and he had told me about, he looks after some of the Rockefellers' property, and he helped kind of babysit or raise, I guess, one of the children. And so one of the boys, sometimes they would want him to go camping with him and do different things and kind of set in as that role model for him. And he did. He said one time they were at the dinner table, and he said this little boy, I don't remember the exact words, but made something, a statement to the effect of, "My, what would it be like to have $1,000? And he was just a little fella and didn't realize the enormous wealth of his family. But this brother told me, he said, "I saw the time when he realized it." And he said, "You could see it. You knew he realized what they were worth, what they had." And, you know, I think about that this morning. I think we're the same way sometimes. You know, the Lord has went back, and he left something behind for us. He left us a heritage that we have, and we may not even realize it. We may only realize a part of it. Here this little boy was, I think, if I remember right, I think the property they were on was worth something like $20 million. And this has been a long time ago. And, you know, that's just one little piece of it. You know, we're the same way sometimes. The Lord has left us enormous heritage. He's left us an inheritance that is worth more than anything this world has to offer. And I just want to talk to us a little bit this morning about that heritage that God has left to His people, to all His people. The Webster says heritage is an inheritance, an estate that passes from an ancestor to an heir by descent or course of law. That's just a piece out of it, but that's the part that I wanted. And, you know, this morning, there is things that the Lord has left for us that I want to just look, I guess, mostly maybe this morning at just the concept. And maybe the Lord will give us more through the coming weeks. I don't know for sure. But the Lord wants us to know, I have left you something, folks, and I want you to enjoy it. In Zechariah 13 and 1, he told us here, "In that day there shall be opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." You know, this is just the entrance to this wonderful heritage that we have. The Lord has given to people the privilege that they can be washed and made clean, and their conscience be cleansed and made new and different, and be able to have, when we lay down, a conscience void of offense toward God and man, as much as lies within us. God is able to do that for us this morning. That's because Jesus left us this divine inheritance that we can enjoy today. You know, this morning, if we have a need for our conscience, if we have a need, you know what the Lord has left behind? He's left a fountain that he opened when he died. And when he shed his blood, he left a fountain opened that we can wash and be made clean. Is there any reason for any of us to not have a clean, healthy conscience today and be made clean? When the Lord made it so, the little boy said, "What would it be like to have $1,000? And his family was worth, I don't know, maybe hundreds of millions. I don't know how much. A lot. What would it be like for us to enjoy some of the things that God has left behind for us, that the Lord paid for? It's part of our inheritance, and he left it for us. I want to read just a few scriptures. John 14 and 27. I pray that the Lord would help us to get a hold of some of these precious promises of God and let them live in our heart and in our life, because the Lord paid for them and he left this as an inheritance for us. In John 14 and 27, he said, "Peace I leave with you." Why did he say he was leaving it with us? Because he was fixing to go away. And he said, "I'm leaving you something. I'm leaving you a heritage. I'm leaving you an inheritance that you can have." And you know what he said? These are huge. These words are remarkable, because he says here, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know what, this morning, saints? We have a heritage this morning that the Lord paid for. And he said, "I'm leaving you something. I'm leaving you my peace. It's not the kind the world gives, because it's done when catastrophe happens. When those millions go away in this life, it's done. When something happens in our body, it's done. But I want to tell you something. The Lord said, "My peace I leave with you. And it's not like the world giveth." You know, this morning, I would that every one of us would just take a hold of this little promise. The Lord said, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." How is it in our heart today and in our life? Do we have that peace that we sing a song that says, "Sweet peace"? I don't remember the whole phrase, but sweet peace is flowing. That's the phrase. Sweet peace is flowing. Another scripture in John 16 and 33. Jesus said here, and he knew he was going away. In verse 32, he said, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you." And he had just spoken a lot of things to them. He told them a comforter was going to come. He told them, "I'm going to send you back a comforter." That's part of our heritage this morning. A comforter, one that when our heart gets heavy, heavy. You ever had a heavy heart? Not just heavy, but heavy. Yeah, we've had a heavy heart, some of us have at times. But you know what? I have found that the comforter brings peace. He calms the troubled waves. And he said, "I'm not alone, because the Father is with me." "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." You know, he didn't try to say it in such a way, you know, you're going to have a rosy life, everything's going to be perfect. He said, "There's going to be something I'm going to give you that the world cannot give you. You're in the world and you're going to have tribulation, and sometimes a lot of it. But you know what I'm going to give you? I'm going to give you peace." "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You know, that's a heritage that the people of God have. God's people have that heritage. The world don't have that. Because when the peace runs out and the things get troubled and there is no answer seemingly, It's what do we do now? And they start searching. Sometimes they start taking stuff to try to get it off their mind. All those things. But you know what the Lord does? He gives His people the promise that He said, I'll give you peace. And so it's our heritage this morning. Let's reach out and embrace that this morning. The Lord said, I could have peace. That's my heritage. That's my inheritance. And why should I sit over here saying, wouldn't it be wonderful if I just had peace for a little while, when the Lord has peace that's flowing for us this morning? I thought about contentment. You know, that's a heritage of the people of God. When God begins to move upon our life and in our heart and change us, the Lord wants to bring us to a state of real contentment. And sometimes I know that's a little walk. Maybe at first we think things need to be different. And the Lord keeps telling us along the way, I've got real contentment for you. But you got to let loose of that little thing that's holding you down there. And so He teaches us to have contentment in our life. And the Lord gives that to His people. It is part of our heritage. Is it only for one or two? I don't believe so. It's something Christ paid for. He said, peace I leave with you. I'm leaving for a while. I'm going to come back. But I'm going to leave you something that the world can't offer. In Matthew 25 and 14, look at this, and I hope our hearts are enlarged to take advantage of this that the Lord has given to us. I can't possibly cover every detail of the heritage that the Lord has left. But listen to what He says. The kingdom of heaven, 25 and 14 of Matthew. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Do you know this morning that the Lord has delivered to us His goods? You know what the Lord's goods are? It's an inheritance, incorruptible. It's an inheritance that you can't buy with money. It's much more valuable than we could ever purchase. But He has told us, I'm going away and I'm leaving you some things. And He said, the kingdom of heaven is like that. It's like a man that goes away, that owns a great, as a man traveling into a far country that had servants and he had land and he had all of these things. I'm adding that part, but I believe it's indicated here. And it says, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. You ever thought about the goods that the Lord has that He wants to deliver to you and me? He's went away. But He doesn't plan for us to die in His absence. He plans for us to live and thrive and prosper. And I'm not talking financially. I'm talking about in where it counts. In us. In our life. In our heart. In our spiritual experience with the Lord. He wants us to live and thrive and prosper this morning. And so He's left us some goods. And He's left you and me some talents. That, you know what these talents really are here? It's money. Maybe gold. I can't remember exactly. I looked it up one time. But He left His servants His wealth. And He left. And He said, I'm going to come back. And I want you to use it. And I want you to enlarge upon it. I want you to take what I've given you and increase it. I want you to use it so that My kingdom is advanced. And you know, this morning, these things that we're talking about only work that way. They don't work if we just take them and bury our little talent and that's it. But when we take them and use them like the Lord said, they increase. He came back and some said, you gave me 5 talents and I've gained 5 more talents. You know, that's the way the Lord wants our life to be this morning. He has some goods that He wants to deliver to you and me. And He wants us to lift up our eyes and look on Him. He doesn't want us to say, oh, what would it be like if we just had a little bit of the goodness of God? I want to tell you something. He wants us to have a lot of the goodness of God. But it only works. It's like a river. It only works if it flows. And if we use it, if we let it flow to other people, if we open the doors of our heart and we allow this thing to flow out and use it to the glory of God, I will tell you, when we do that, we will see that thing start increasing. But if we let it flow into a little pond and we decide, I'm just going to sit here by this, I'm going to drink this water, it'll breed all kinds of things on us. In Matthew 16 and 19, listen to these words. There's been a lot of confusion about this verse, but I don't think it's very confusing. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You know, the things that God has given us, I believe these right here are the keys. I'm holding the keys. And when we tell you about them, and we tell you about the keys of the kingdom of heaven, the things that unlock the mysteries of life, the things that unlock our needs within and give us something that can satisfy those things. I believe those are keys of life. Those are keys that the Lord wants us to have. And to one it binds, and to the other it is a savor of life. To one it is a savor of death, because it condemns if we don't walk in the light of the Lord and if we don't allow God's will into our life. It condemns that one ever eternally. It condemns them. That's the keys as I understand it. And when we allow that work into our life, it opens the doors. It opens the doors of faith. It opens the doors as we hear, we believe, and we're changed. As we allow and we hear that God has peace for us, and we start looking for that, and we start searching for that. You know what? It opens the door to that. And God has that for us this morning. Lord, let us have the things of your kingdom that you have given to us. Let us not be paupers when it comes to the things of God. The Lord wants us to be rich. Did you know that? Did we know that this morning? The Lord wants you and me to be rich this morning in the things that really matter and count. We can be. But if we sit down and we look at our circumstances, and we look down and we look at what the enemy says, and we look at discouragement, you'll get discouraged and you'll fall out by the way. But the Lord has a lot more than that. He has a heritage for us that we don't have to sit down and say, what would it be like? We can experience the good things of God. I think about the scripture over in 2 Peter that talks about whereby are given unto us. Did you know this? Are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, we see a world that is captivated. It's ruled by the lower nature and by lust and by problems and by evil. We see a world with wars everywhere. Where, how many wars is there going on today? And yet, the Lord told us, He told us this, I've given unto you exceeding great and precious, exceeding great. And when the Lord tells us that by inspiration, that's pretty big. Exceeding great. That's what the Lord said for us. And precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of God Himself, of His divine nature, of the love that He has, of the peace that He has, of the joy that flows from heaven. The Lord wants us to be partakers. And I know that sometimes we get a little, and the Lord wants us to have a lot. And I just want to share that with us this morning. The Lord's been talking to my heart. The Lord wants us to have a lot. He doesn't want us to have just enough to make us wish we had more this morning. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I want to read a scripture in Matthew 18. And 20. And listen to this. It says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You know, that's a precious promise this morning. Who is God? God is love. His very spirit, it says, the fruits of having a spirit there is peace and joy and long suffering and all of those blessed things that we all want to other people to have and dealing with us, and we want to have them. Well, he said, if there's two or three of you gathered together, I'm in the midst of you. The Lord wants us to recognize we've got a heritage this morning. The Lord to be in the midst of us. Of those that have hearts that are made washed and made pure and serving the Lord with all their heart. His promise is, I'll be in the midst of you. In my spirit, in my presence, in who I am, I'll be there. I was thinking about the blessing that comes when two or more. Now, you know, in our home, this counts for that too. In our home, we might just have two. We might just have one, but we come together and have more than that. But you know, if we have two or more, you know what the Lord has promised us? The fruits of His Spirit. He said, I'll be there in the midst of you. I'll give you peace. I'll give you unity. I'll give you one heart and one spirit. I'll give you love for one another. Have you ever thought about what God wants to give us for one another? Let our hearts be enlarged this morning. The Lord wants to be in our midst in abundance this morning. He wants to be in our midst with a free flowing of His Spirit from our heart to other hearts. He wants our life to be a reflection of what the Lord's life was like. And He said, I'll be in your midst. I'll flow from heart to heart. I'll live in you. You know, this morning we read what David said back there about unity in Psalms 133. And he gave us a great... listen to what he says here. He says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Have we ever really experienced this in our life and in our heart? You know what David did? And he said, it's good and it's pleasant. And he goes on to tell what it's like. So it's like he was trying to tell us how he felt about it. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, went down to the skirts of his garment. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. The Lord commanded a blessing in that place. The dew of Hermon, Clark's commentary says, I believe it was Clark's, it says that the dew was so thick, it is still so thick in that area, that the tents will just be sopping wet after a night because of how it fell and the preciousness of it and the heaviness of it. You know, he said unity is like that this morning. When we feel that with one another and we take our own part in this, the thing that might be causing me to be in disunity, I'm going to take my responsibility. I'm going to try to do what God would want me to do about it. Now, you know, the blessing of it is that we can enjoy that. You know what the blessing is to come together, two or more, let's say in our home. You know what the blessing is like when you are really in love? It is wonderful. It is a blessing. It is the heritage of the people of God for us to have that in our home. Now, that takes more than one. That takes an effort on everybody's part. But do you know that our home can reflect this if we will allow it to? It is the heritage. It is the heritage of the people of God. Talk about riches and wealth. Did we know that we could have that in our home? And that kind of a blessing, that's the heritage of the people of God this morning. I've been just feasting on this some through the week, the last 2 weeks, in fact, or week and a half. The Lord has given us great and precious promises. And He's rich. And he said, I'm going away, but I'll tell you what, I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you a heritage. I'm leaving you an inheritance that has great and precious promises in it. The fruit of that is a blessedness that really can hardly be explained. But I appreciate it so much this morning. Lord, teach us your ways and show us your paths. Because in the Lord's paths is light, it's warmth, it's understanding, it's blessedness. I find this to be so. I'm not preaching something that I read out of a book only. But I've experienced this, and I believe it's true. I've seen others, and I believe many of us here do. You know, this morning, I want to look at 2 Corinthians 10. And look at what the Lord has promised us here. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. It says here, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What are the weapons of our warfare? The world is full of weapons. It's full of all kinds of things that bring disharmony, destruction, problems, not peace but hatred. The world is full of it. You know what the Lord has promised His people? Just the opposite. And He said here, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You know, the Lord this morning wants to give us some weapons today. I've been thinking a little about some of these things, and I would like, if the Lord wills, to enlarge on it for the next little while. But, you know, I think about the weapons that He has given us. And He says, they're mighty through God. They pull down strongholds. Strongholds is where people hide. It's where the enemy reinforces himself. And you cannot penetrate that hardly. And sometimes you cannot. But He said here that the weapons of our warfare that God has given to us as His people will penetrate those strongholds. That's what He has promised to us this morning. Casting down imaginations. All those things that get in our minds. All those things the devil brings along. Did you see so and so? You know, they don't like you. You ever had the devil tell you that? I have. But I want to tell you something that will cast that down. The weapons of God. I'll tell you what one of those weapons is. He says to love one another. You know what that's powered by? It's powered and fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we begin to do that, you know what we do? We cross that line and we tear that stronghold down. Because we go love them. Whether they love us or not. I want to tell you something. Usually, you'll see things begin to soften. And you'll see walls begin to come down. Sometimes the Lord will tell you, you've got to be more humble. And the Lord wants to teach us that. And I haven't always been that way. Sometimes you think, well, this is what it is. I'm going to say it like it is. And the Lord says, humble yourself. You know, I believe the greatest weapon we have, and I know love is a great thing, but when it comes to tearing strongholds down, when we exhibit real Bible humility, and our whole heart is to love one another, and we humble ourselves, do you know what that does? It takes the fire out of the enemy's missiles. It disarms the enemy. It does that. Humility does that. Love works a work that nothing else can do. And God said, where there's two or three, I'll be there in my midst. And he said one place about love. He said, by this all people will know that you are my disciples. You know why? Because you can't have that kind of love without God living inside of you. You can bear with things. You can work with things. People can have organizations. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of turmoil a lot of times. And somebody comes out on top. But you know what the Lord wants for His people? He wants something a lot better than that. And He said, I'll be in the midst of you in this way. I want to teach you my ways. I want you to understand my ways. They're ways of peace. They're ways that bring harmony and love in lives. And so this morning, let our hearts be enlarged and look up to the Lord this morning. Lord, enlarge my heart. I want to take in what you have for me. The results and the blessings of it, I cannot overemphasize because I believe it's that much. And it works a work. When the enemy among two or three is disarmed, you know what begins to happen? We can begin to talk then. And we can begin to work together. I believe the Lord wants it to be so. This is the heritage of the people of God. I see a congregation, and I've seen us this week. I saw it working together, pulling together. I saw it more so than it seems like it has been. And it has been a lot in the past. But you know, I appreciate that. That's God working in our midst. The Lord wants us to be that way. He wants us to love to be in this place. I believe that. You know what that work comes from? It comes from letting God work in your life and my life. And all of us working together to bring about that harmony that God wants to have in our lives. In our homes. Let's don't allow the enemy to sneak in there and take that harmony and that beauty that God wants to give us. Because really, it has to start there. It really does. Because that's who we are. That's where we are every day. And the Lord wants to change us. He wants to teach us. Look, folks, I'm leaving you. I'm going back, but I'm leaving you something. I'll be in your midst. In joy. And in peace and in harmony and in love and in long suffering and in kind words. All those things and many others. He said, I'll be there like that in your midst. It's something that I believe we should reach hold of and grasp hold of. Lord, this part of my heritage. And I'm going to have it by the grace of God. And I believe if we'll do that, I believe the Lord will begin to teach us how to use His weapons and how to use His tools. That understanding and that power to do it, because we can understand it and have no power to do it. And I've seen that many times. I've seen people learn in marriage seminars and they come back and it works pretty good for a little while. But we have to have power to do those things. That power comes from the Holy Spirit. It is the heritage of the people of God this morning. Lord, give us your heritage. Give us your ways and your thoughts. I was talking to Brother Marty over at the Shawnee Chapel the other day. And he was telling me about, he was just marveling at the presence of the Lord. And I think we were talking about the anointing of the Lord in our midst, in our songs, in our singing, in our worship services, in the ministry of the word. And he was telling me some about Brother Salmons and some of those times. And, you know, and I was just standing there thinking about, this is the heritage of the people of God. His presence in our midst, that rich sweetness that the Spirit of the Lord descends upon like the dew of Hermon. Is this just a dream? I don't think so. I believe this is the heritage of the people of God. Let's determine each one of us, as much as lieth within me, I'm going to make it so. I'm going to do everything I know to love, to forgive, to help, to bind up, to strengthen, to stand by, to be with. Does that mean that we never Does that mean we never say anything to our wife or our husband or to someone else? No, the scripture says that the wounds of the righteous, how does it say that? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. It shall not, let's see, what does it go on to say? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Okay. But you know, the Lord, it won't break my head. One place it says something like that. It shall not break my head. You know, the ways of God, it's not a way that doesn't face things, that isn't able to be real or able to be mature. It in fact matures us. It makes us able to talk one with another on levels that we need to. Sometimes I need to hear it. Sometimes I need to hear some things that I don't want to hear. And you know what? As we allow God to work within us like that, you know what the result will be? I believe it'll be that God can work in our midst in a way that is deeper and better. In Psalm 61 and 5, listen to this scripture. This is a psalm of David. And he said, "For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name." Isn't that wonderful? He has given us the heritage of those that fear thy name. We're going to put our name in there and allow the Lord to give us those blessed promises that he has given. Peace and harmony in our midst. Where two or three are gathered, there can be peace and harmony. And I know we experience a lot of it here. I know we do. I'm not trying to say we don't. But I believe the Lord wants us to just reach up a little higher. The more of the Lord that we bring into our midst, I believe the more that he can give us, the more that he can help us. I think it's the gold standard that God has given. It's Psalms 141 and 5. "Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities." I want to read just another scripture or two in Psalm 16 and 5. Again, a psalm of David. "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot." I'm going to read one more scripture, Malachi 4 and 2. The Lord is our inheritance, folks. I hope we can get a new vision of what God has for us in our lives. In 4 and 2 of Malachi it says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the sun of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Now, you know, I count that a very precious promise this morning that the Lord has given to us. He said that that's the way we would be. He said in this world you'll have tribulation. He wasn't talking about not having any tribulation. But he said, "Unto you that fear my name shall the sun of righteousness," spelled S-U-N, but he's talking about Jesus. The sun of righteousness is going to arise in our life like the sun arises in this world today. The sun is going to arise in our life, he said. And he's going to have healing in his wings. "And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." That's the inheritance of the people of God this morning. He told us we would be like that. Are we going to take our inheritance and seize upon it and use our inheritance? I believe we can. Might have to do a little searching for it. A lot of humbling ourselves, but I've found this. The Lord will do what he said he will do. Amen.